Hello, and thanks again for choosing Living Free from the Pain of Divorce speaker series. Yesterday, we enjoyed the fun of putting sexy back in our lives with Sandra Fidelis. Wow, Sandra revved up our engines by telling us to stand strong and make a proclamation for what we desire to have in our life. When you speak it out, the universe will bring you opportunities to fulfill that. Sandra also shared it's important to know what you desire to make that proclamation. If you were like me at the beginning of my journey, I had no way of explaining what I desired. I just did my days and thought it was how life was to be done. I wasn't conscious of what I was doing, thinking, or creating. I just had my days packed. As we begin this shift, one of the ways towards a life of more love, joy, and abundance is to simply think about your positive and negative experiences. Think of what brings a smile to your face and what doesn't. You can choose to be grumpy, or you can choose to be happy. You can choose to be overwhelmed, or you can choose to be content and just know it'll all get done. Pay attention to how life feels to you when you speak to others. What's your tone and demeanor? When you wake up in the morning, how do you set the tone of your day? As Jenith Blackert taught, does it feel light or heavy? When you determine what parts of your life are heavy, no longer serving you, make the commitment to remove them. Cutting out what isn't working in your life is a bold first step to creating the life that does work for you. When you cut out what isn't working for your life, you'll feel lighter and more alive. You'll be amazed at how quickly your life will shift to have a more loving presence. Just keep hold of the images in your mind of the things that you want more of, the things that feel light and fun. Keep that close to you. Put structures around you so you can create more and more of that. Don't you just love the fact you're always a choice? That's what we call awakening or becoming conscious of your choices. We've all been given free will to create our lives. It's your choice how you want your life to be. Today, I'll be your speaker, and I love opening up people to greater possibilities in their lives and help them create the greatest, grandest versions of themselves. But before I begin sharing, let's connect with our centering exercise. Just please close your eyes and take a deep breath and try to go to that place where there's peace within you. Just notice your body relaxing, your shoulders letting go. Take another breath. See if you can feel you sinking deeper into your chair. Ask yourself, what is it that you hope to receive from the call today? Breathe into that. Give yourself permission to receive exactly what you need. Just pay attention to what pops up for you. Take another breath and come back to the call. Dottie Hager is an inspiring catalyst and spiritual empowerment coach. For decades, I've been inspiring people to believe in themselves and tap into their potential, first in the business world, then education, and now as an entrepreneur with a coaching business. I've spent years learning about human behavior, and I consider myself an expert in understanding how people show up in the world. My mission is to help people have more love, joy, and abundance in their lives. I believe the more you know and love yourself, the more you can show up and play in the world. You'll have the tools to create the life of your dreams. So today I'm going to be sharing, uncover your deepest yearning by becoming conscious of your choices. I feel like my divorce put me on a spiritual journey. I didn't understand what that meant, but glad that I've been there. It freed me to a whole new world. I'll share with you some milestones that changed my life and why I'm so passionate about coaching, teaching, and leading groups. It is literally life-changing. You immediately know you've made a difference. As you listen to my journey, it's my hope that you'll find those milestones for your journey. Growing up in a military family, I thought there was one way, my dad's way. I was living in a box with limited thinking and insights and didn't even know it. I don't know if any of you have seen the Challenge Day program that was shown on the Oprah show, But I was a volunteer for one of the high schools in Oklahoma City doing that. And the day is filled with fun activities to help make the message of demonstrating the possibility of love and connections through the celebration of diversity, truth, and full expression. Basically, teaching the kids how to get along and respect their differences. The leader taped a small box on the gym floor and stood in it. There was no space to go anywhere else in that box. He explained how this box shows our lives. We often live in this box with limiting views, judgments, exclusions, constrictions, and smallness. We keep everyone out unless they meet your criteria. Yet, there's a whole world out there waiting for you to experience, like the rest of that gym floor. That activity hit me so hard because it was a great analogy for my life before divorce. I could feel the smallness, the worry, the fears, the constrictions of life that I had lived inside of my head. I had a limited perspective of how to live life. We're all doing the best that we can do at any point in time. I was doing what I had seen modeled, which was pretty good, but the world I created in my head was full of judgment, stress, fear, worry, condemnation. I couldn't be good enough. I created this role of being perfect, which right off sets you up for failure because there's no such thing. The sad part is you spend all your energy trying to be that role, but there's always the pressure and pain of it for not being it. I realized fear was guiding my life. I wanted to be the perfect kid, the perfect wife, the perfect mother, perfect employee, and I wanted you that way too. On the outside, my life looked like a perfect world. The big house, the attorney husband, two beautiful kids. I was principal in a great school district. I was in junior league, Sunday school teacher, chamber and city committees. Then the big D happened. I was embarrassed, ashamed, afraid. I felt like my image was damaged, shattered. I had based my life success on my image of how perfect I was. It was all about how I looked. I wore my wedding ring for a year because I didn't want others to know that I was divorced because of my beliefs of what I thought people would say about a divorced woman. My kid's father told me nobody would want a 40-plus with two kids. I was afraid the parents at my school wouldn't trust me anymore, even if I couldn't hold my own family together. My daughter even said that her perfect world was shattered, which made my world even worse. I was crazed. I failed in life. How could I ever pull myself out to face people or live life? I was so boxed in because I based everything on how I looked in the material world. None of this was conscious at the time. It was all my self-talk and behaviors of judgment, not good enough, that had been ruling my life. The saddest part is I wasn't even grateful at the time for all the blessings I had in my life. I was only looking at that I was busted. I wasn't this perfect image that I had created for people to believe about me. My thoughts were all about what I was losing, the negative self-talk in my head of not being enough, the fear of what would happen to my kids because of being divorced. My saving grace was the strong desire to make sure my kids would be okay. I loved my job, and I had a great support system of friends and family. I didn't focus on all that good. It was poor me and how bad I was to be divorced. All of this in my own head. I had so much. And I don't want to discount the pain of divorce and the losses created, but for me, I added so much unnecessary grief because of the role I was playing, my limited beliefs, and all the judgments I had around it. I was playing the victim, blaming rather than taking responsibility for my part, my lessons in this journey of life. So I ask you, what roles or masks are you playing in your life? How are those ruling your life? I had no idea I was playing this good girl role. I made up how I was supposed to be in this life. You'll create your own scenario about how that plays out in your life. It's just about becoming conscious of that, because that rules us, and that's where we stay in the fear, the sadness, and all of that. Now, there's a lot of good things that have happened in my life because of playing that good girl role or trying to be perfect. But I was running out of fear not being that. What if people found out I was really bad rather than perfect? Life has a way of giving you just what you need. During the Principles Academy one summer, the course was designed around Stephen Covey's 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. Its focus was finding your true north, living a life based on character. When I realized that life could be led by love, joy, kindness, trustworthy, and not judged by what you had and what you had accomplished, my limited world burst open to a life of infinite possibilities and a lot less competition and judgment. So let me give you an example on a practical real-life living, and it's something that you know, I'd like to encourage you to do. So ask yourself, as you see yourself on your 85th birthday, what do you want people saying about you? What do you want your partner to say about you, your children, your family, your siblings, your colleagues, and your friends? Go through each one and take a moment to write down what you'd want them to say. And then ask yourself, how are your actions, your heart, your soul, and your doing making sure that you're doing that in your life? So let me give you an example of how that played out in my life. So one of the things that I wanted is I wanted people to say that I was present for them. So I had to ask myself, how was I showing up? Was I making sure that I took time to check in with them? How was I giving them attention, affection, appreciation, affirmation? How did I know what was going on in their life? If I wanted them to be able to say I was there for them, I had to make sure in my life that I was doing this. So I ask you to go through each of those. If you want them to say that you were, loving for them, you need to ask yourself the same kinds of questions. Are all my actions showing that I'm loving, that I'm doing loving things, or do I, push them off? It's really important to pay attention. It's not about making us wrong or right. It's becoming conscious of the way that we show up in this world. This activity is really important because it gets you focused on what's most important for you. Because if you say at your 85th birthday that you want those kinds of things done, then you create the life you want based on those statements. How are you making that happen in your life? That's where your energy needs to be focused. It gives you great dividends because it's what's most important to you. You will feel powerful and valued. This is how to have your life aligned with what you're saying that's most important to you. And then it takes away the judging because you're living your life what's most important to you, not compared to people that you are comparing yourself to now, or at least for me, I was doing that. It's all about being in alignment with what you say is most important to your life. You can do that if you don't know what that, you can't do that if you don't know what that is. That's why you often get frustrated in life if you feel like you're always doing for other people and never taking time for yourself. Many things don't change, but it's happening from your own desire. So how are you doing? If you're not where you want to be, it just takes a little shift. It might just be the way that you're engaging in an activity. Notice, am I shooting or am I coming to it from a state of blessing? It's often just a shift in perception, as the Course in Miracles says. When you're doing it based on what's important to you, your whole being changes. You begin to feel like you're making a difference, that you do matter, and that you're important because you're living your life in a way that matters to you. So my next big step on this journey to awakening was when I found the Course of Miracles. And along your journey, you're going to find lots of little happenings for you, opportunities for you to take advantage. And like the Course of Miracles was one that kept popping up for me. And so finally, I got enrolled and went to one of the courses at one of Barnes & Noble here in the city that I live with. The Course teaches that the way to love and inner peace is through forgiveness. The Course teaches that there's only two emotions, love and fear. and the Course teaches us how to return to love, which is our true self. I thought, well, I love my family and friends and life, but during our weekly session on the Course, our teacher had asked us to make a chart to keep track of the decisions in our life and whether we're making them from love or fear. Then during the week, I was to look at all the decisions I was making in my life and putting them under one column. Quickly, my page, I was so embarrassed. My page was like almost all fear. Things like, were people not going to like me if I made a bad decision? Or were my kids going to be mad at me? Or I was afraid to say something wrong or afraid to disappoint anyone. And whenever I went out in public, I had to look a certain way because somebody might say something. Now, all of those things might be okay, but it's the way that I was doing that. I was stepping up in fear rather than stepping up. I wanted, you know, if you want to look nice when you go out, that's one choice. But I was doing it because I wanted people to think that I looked nice rather than just me internally feeling like that's important to me, that I look nice when I go out. So it's just a little shift often. So it made me also realize how conditional my love was. I thought love was based on what you did for others, who you had to be to win approval. I thought you had to act in a certain way to be loved, and that's how I acted. Somewhere in my life, something happened, and I made it mean I had to be this way for people to love me, notice me. And all of this was unconscious, and that's why I'm so passionate about helping people awaken to the choices that you make. So until something breaks us open, and for me it was divorce, I had no idea that this is how I was living my life and why I was feeling so frazzled, pressured, and condemned. So, it's basically a no-win situation when I'm basing my value all on external measures by comparing myself to others. And I'm sure you've heard the saying, there'll always be someone prettier, there'll always be someone richer, or slimmer, whatever it is for you that you're basing yours on, a better mother or someone more involved with their kids, or, you know, there's always something more, and that's how the universe shows us that we are comparing ourselves to the external world instead of based on what's most important to us. I cannot, you know, underestimate the power of doing that activity of your 85th birthday. So all of this was the beginning of me realizing how I was creating my life. I began listening to my thoughts. I began really learning about love and loving myself and becoming the person that I was meant to be, taking off the layers of persona. As Rumi states, your task is not to seek for love, but merely to seek and find all the barriers within yourself that you have built against it. So let's stop for a moment and see where you are with love leading your life. So in order for you to become conscious of how you live your life, it's important to become aware. So let's just kind of take some data. On a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being about love, guiding your life, and 1, fear guiding your life, where would you say? What number just pops up for you? So that's a beginning for you. So if you're doing, you know, up at 8 and you want to be at a 10, then you just need to start, you know, and I'll tell you about this little activity. It's just a measure to help you start moving and becoming conscious of all the choices that you're making in the day. Just like what I said about the morning. When you wake up in the morning, are you looking at it, wow, I have a family around me, or I have a great job, or are you, you know, using the opposite fear, oh my gosh, I have to do that again. So here's the activity that I'd like you to do. On a piece of paper, I want you to go from the side of each paper across the top of the paper and draw a line. Then down the middle of the paper, draw a line in the center of the paper from the top of the paper where you drew that across. And now you should see like a capital T. On the left-hand side of the top of the paper, write love in caps. And on the right-hand side, write fear. And I want you to keep track of your actions for this week. When you're making a decision, are you doing it out of love or fear? Example. I love going to my job. I love feeling I have created, a feeling I have created in my home. I love being in the presence of my husband or kids or friends. Or do you take it from the perspective of, I have to go to this job to receive a paycheck. Everyone's walking on eggshells in our home because they know I might explode any moment. I have to clean up after you all the time. Just notice the difference. Notice, remember, I talked about heavy or light. So our task is never about making you wrong as you start becoming conscious. It's only to make you aware. And being aware is the first step to stepping up to the life that you were meant to live, to empower you to know you have whatever it is you desire as long as you're willing to align with it. Basically, it's the walk your talk type thing. You have to know what your actions are and where you want to begin changing them. So once you have this data, choose a few of the fear places and create an action to change it to love. Like I said, a lot of it is not like big actions. It's just that small shift in our head to starting to think about gratitude. You know, learn from my lessons. Be grateful. Gosh, you know, I had kids. I was so grateful that I had kids. They helped me, you know, get through my divorce. But I didn't look at it that way to begin with. And that's some of the forgiveness that I had to do for myself for sure. So if you do this activity, you will begin seeing how you have much more love and peace in your life because you're shifting, living your life from everybody else's point of view. Like, you know, if you're making your decisions on fear with your kids, like, oh, you're asking me to do all these things, instead of, okay, back to mine, you know, I wanted them to know that I was there for them. So when they're saying, I have a ball game today, you know, could you be there? I needed to be able to say, oh, wow, yeah, I have all these other things going on, but if I really want them to think I'm there for them, I need to show up. And then, you know, you have to figure out how to make all the other things happen too. But it's those little ways, instead of feeling the pressure of all the things that you have to do, you have the opportunity to shift that and know, I want people to know that I'm there for them. It just creates a lot less stress, anger, and frustration in your life because it's not like you're running to get everything done. So remember, the way to get in, you know, keep yourself in alignment is just keep going back to that 85th birthday and the things that you said you wanted people to say about you. So the next biggest leap for me moving forward was finding Debbie Ford's book, The Dark Side of the Light Chaser. Oh my, it was perfect thing for me. The book talks about how we have to love all of us, not just the parts we love. When I read this book, it hit me hard because I had been trying to live my life. If only I had more of this, I'd be perfect. If only I had another degree, I'd feel important or accomplished. It isn't about trying to be perfect, but it's about loving and accepting all of ourselves. Oh, my gosh, what a blessing and a life-transforming experience for me. Debbie shows you how every quality of your personality has its gifts. I told everyone about it. I taught it. I, you know, attended her workshops. And then finally, I went through her coaching so I'd be able to share it with others. It was the most freeing experience for me. I could be who I was meant to be. I saw how all this came together. I came out of my box. So that you know what I mean about loving all the qualities within yourself, let's do an activity. First, think about two people that you admire. They can be historical figures, TV, movie stars, family members, sports people, whoever. Just think of them real quickly. Write their names down. And then next to each of their names, list two qualities that you admire about them, each one. So for me, you know, like Oprah would be one, and then I love her giving spirit and her authenticity. So now do the same thing about two people you don't like. and their names should pop up real quickly. And once again, it could be historical people, TV personalities, political people, anyone that you can think of. Write their names down, and then write two qualities that you don't like about them. So this activity is to show you the qualities that you admire are qualities that you have in you, but you might not be standing in your power. Something is hiding. The task is to find out what that is. What is it that you're covering up? What are your beliefs around being that? Okay, so for me, say on the Oprah where I was saying authentic, okay, I love that she's authentic, but when I was trying to be this perfect person, I wasn't being authentic. I was afraid. I was running. I was trying to be even more perfect. Like, what else could I possibly do? And I was running myself to, you know, this tizzy of trying to be this perfect person. So you admire that because you know when you are that, that's when you're living in your true north or exactly the way you want to live in your life. So what are your beliefs around you being that, the ones that you love? Are you afraid others will say you're conceited if you're that? That you're too good for us now? Just let it all come in. Remember, awareness is the first step to healing or changing. Then the negative qualities are the ones that you have but haven't owned and are probably running fast from them. What do you not want people to know about you? One of the quickest ways to figure this out is, what are you hiding from? Just like me keeping my ring on for a year because I didn't want people to think I was a bad person from being divorced. Someplace in our lives, we made these qualities wrong or bad. An example is, many of us were taught that good girls can't be angry. But in reality, angry is an emotion. It's not bad or good. It's an appropriate feeling at times. Say, for instance, if somebody violated you. So notice, what are you hiding from? Be honest. Something should pop up really quickly. Keep notice of those and do the work to own them. Find the gifts and integrate to heal. Every quality comes with a gift. Like angry, that can help propel you to take action. So once you see that in your life, once you own these, once you start integrating them, you'll find peace with that quality and you won't need to hide from it. And what's really hilarious is you don't have people showing up with you like that because it doesn't need to plug you anymore. So one of the greatest gifts that you can do is start paying attention when you're out of sorts with yourself. Just take notice. Maybe even take a quality about your ex that you don't like. Well, there might be too much energy around that to begin with, but at some point, try to process those. For me, my ex was pretty laissez-faire about some things. Well, that drove me nuts. I expected him to do what I wanted and then when I wanted. If I needed him to help me with the kids, I wanted him to do that. If I needed something done around the house, I wanted him to do that. But I wanted, you know, I wanted him to do what I wanted him to do, and yet he took his own time and did it in his own perfect time. So I was worn out by all the responsibility and doing all the chores. So had I known all of this back then, I wouldn't have blamed him for all of this. I would have, you know, tried to step up to the plate and try to work through that. I could have begun this process of what I needed to heal inside of me that was pushing my buttons. So here's how it works. When you're triggered, pay attention to that, wherever you are. If you're noticed, you're driving down the street and you flip off somebody, okay, take some time, you know, and start noticing that. You know, what is it about that person or what is it, you know, that happened that triggered me? So everything that triggers you is a time for you to say, uh-oh, got my attention. And today I can do it more easily and without the angst that it once was in most cases. So what was it that triggered me? It was his laissez-faire attitude. What did I make laissez-faire mean? This is how you process it. What beliefs did I have around it? So you do a lot of digging into your thoughts, and this is all becoming conscious of your thinking. So what qualities about laissez-faire could be beneficial to someone? Well, laissez-faire people are laid back, easygoing, not quick to have to get about, they're free, etc. So then you ask yourself, what did laissez-faire have to teach me? So where in my life could I use a little more of that? Well, at that time, everything. I was so wound up, strung tight, that anything about being much more relaxed, comfortable, would have been beneficial to everyone around me. Because you know what it feels like when you know someone's on a mission, and it's like, here we go, let's get to your game, let's do this. And that's just how I was acting at the time. So these laissez-faire people were showing me where I could chill. I didn't have to take life so seriously. I could relax more and live more lighthearted. I could be more sociable, free, not always in a hurry. I could stop and chat with people. Remember, go back to my true north, my 85th birthday. If I want people to know I was there for them, did I check in with them? Did I let them know how much I cared? Like that example of taking my kids to their activities. If I was just railroading the situation, that didn't feel too good. That felt like, we better watch out for Mom. She's wound up. Instead of me being laissez-faire, laid back, just being able to enjoy the moment that I had with them. So my journey was then to start chilling, be freer, less uptight. It showed me where I needed to get in alignment with what I said was important to me. It takes away the stress and making others wrong or bad. Now, if something needs to be handled, you still have to be responsible and take that action needed in the situation. But for your own self and for starting to take 100% responsibility for your life, you pay attention to these qualities that trigger you. And then just acknowledge that you have some healing to do. There's a saying that when Michelangelo was creating the statue of David, all he had to do was remove the layers of clay that were not David to create that masterpiece. That's the same for you and me. It's about peeling away the layers that are not your divine self. And that's what exercises like these are to help you so that you can step into the masterpiece of you. So as I kept peeling away these layers, then, like a number of the different speakers have told you, in our pain is the gift that we have to offer the world. I'm not that uptight, crazed person most of the time that I once was. So, do you see how fun it is to begin owning your own life, to take charge of your life, to be responsible for the life you want? It is all up to you once you know what's truly important to you. That's what we're all talking about when we keep saying becoming conscious. Conscious of your thoughts, of what you want, and how you're showing up in the world. When you take back your life, there's something magical that happens. Because you know that you can always make another choice. I can tell you today that it happens much more quickly than it's, you know, taken to be able to take 100% responsibility for my life. And I know now, like when, you know, if something happens and I want to blame someone, I'm like, whoa, you know, how does that serve me? It doesn't. So there's things that you start picking up on your life to start taking responsibility rather than taking blame, you know, creating the blame that happens so often. You let go of some of the places or people who no longer serve you for your highest and greatest good. You know when my buttons get pushed, it's time to do some healing work. Do I always act that nice? No. But I do know that I can heal and forgive myself and others. I know I can create the life I desire. I know that the good that you seek is seeking you. I know that everything works out for me, even though it doesn't feel like it at times when I'm in one of those moods or angst. And I know that the universe is on my side. The universe wants to give us everything that we want to have. And that's why all of the speakers in this series have really been trying to help you focus on what is most important to you and trying to shift your energy from the sadness, the anger, and helping you work through the stages of grief to really being able to create the life that you want. So I know when it's time to refuel. And so part of that is when you know you're out of sorts, then go do those things that are important to you. For me, it's go outside, take a walk. Nature does magical things for me when I'm uptight or whatever, and then it just allows my body. And for some of you, you know, if you don't have an exercise program, it's just like get out there and just sit or something. But even just walk a few blocks if whatever. But find the things that help you get centered back to your true north. So the more that we become conscious and open to possibilities, the more good we attract in our life. So I'm proud to be able to share with you how my world has changed. And I am living more in alignment with love, my purpose, and my 85th birthday. I have become the person I wanted to attract. I wanted to be loved, cherished, and adored. But I had to learn to be able to give that and be able to receive that. I had to know it to be it. I've spent years unraveling that which is not love. And love guides my life today. I began making conscious choices. It's part of the journey of walk the talk, aligning your life with what you say you want. And that's why it's so important to have friends or support groups. And as you notice, many of the teachers that you've, you know, that have been speaking to you here are coaches, because we know how important it is to have that person there supporting you, holding you in your highest, and helping give that push. You know, okay, this is what you said you wanted. How can I help support you? And as a coach, all our job is to help facilitate you to get to where you want to be. And so it's important, and however you do that, whether you have ministers or friends, sometimes our friends and family allow us to stay where we are. And so sometimes it's important to have somebody that doesn't have that emotional connection to you that can really help you see the greatest vision for yourself. So where are you on a scale of 1 to 10 in loving yourself? I know when I began this journey, that was not very high. And it was really strange, because if you would have asked most people about me, they would have told you how confident I was. But internally, boy, this churning and, you know, the negative self-talk. And I didn't even know it was self-talk. I wasn't even aware there was all that chatter. I just knew I was in angst. So where are you on saying kind things to yourself on a scale of 1 to 10? On seeing how much you have to offer the world, where are you on the scale of 1 to 10? How are you at receiving a compliment of how do you look on a scale of 1 to 10? Do you say thank you and just take it in? Or do you have to add, oh, yeah, you know, this happened, or, oh, gosh, I threw this together, you know. It's important to learn how to receive. If we want to be loved, we have to be able to learn how to receive that. So there's small ways to help you find your way to what's most important. And these little questions, as you've heard a number of the speakers say too, it's the questions that we keep asking ourselves. And you'll have answers come to you to help you to understand that. So today, my life is bliss, and you can have that too. My sharing is not meant to brag or share from that energy, but to give you a place of belief and hope. I'm married to the most fabulous man in the world, and we love our life. We're creating the life all the time. I know this language. I know how to share it. My husband looks at me a little strange sometimes, but then he'll get into it too. We travel and we play and have fun with each other, with our friends and our family. We know what's most important to us. We honor and respect each other. We know what that is for each other. We make sure we attend to the four A's, affection, attention, appreciation, and acknowledgement for each other. That could be something you'd write down. How are you showing those people in your life that you have appreciation for them? Acknowledge the things that are important to you and to them. Give them some attention, undivided attention, not just, oh, yeah, you know, I fixed their meal for them, but attention, really paying attention to what they need. Our kids were so blessed. We work hard and we play hard. We just completed a week-long whitewater rafting trip in the Grand Canyon, where we camped out for 6 nights and hiked out nearly 10 miles. we do what we love. And I feel so blessed and honored because I don't know if I would have been here if I hadn't gone through this divorce. Maybe you could say we learned to love each other because of my journey and his. Shortly after we became attracted to each other, he found out he had tongue cancer. So life has its darkness, but it's how we respond to it and react, how we respond to it rather than react. We both were given another chance, so we want to make sure we live life fully. It's when you have the tools, resources, and support, it allows you to know that this storm will soon run out of rain, as Gary Allen says in his song. He has a song that's called Every Storm Soon Runs Out of Rain. We all have storms. When you fall back down, keep on remembering every storm runs out of rain. So what you learn is that you learn to pick up yourself quicker. I've learned a new way to show up in the world. I learned I could break free from my box and realize there's so much to life. Just try to remember that little box in that gym floor. I mean, that was so powerful for me because it helped me break open just thinking about how constrained and constricted I was and who I wasn't letting in or not seeing. I realized that life didn't have to be so condemning, that I could be free to live the life I've dreamed up. So from that, it's been my mission to help people create lives of more love, joy, and abundance, and to open up to life's possibilities, whether it's in relationships, our thoughts, our dreams, how you see the world, or actual eyes in which you can take it all in. Because I was boxed in, I didn't know I had choices. There's great freedom and joy when you feel like you have the free will and choice in your life. The discovery of yourself can be the most exciting and rewarding adventure you could ever hope to make. Creating a positive view of the future makes it easier for you to eliminate worry, hesitation, focus on your energy because you need something that's motivating. It takes a lot of faith. Faith is the magnet. It attracts the attention to the desire you want. You know, faith is the confidence that what you hope for will show up. Surround yourself with people that will support you and really help encourage you to have those dreams that you want and to know it's possible. It is so easy to stay in that darkness, and I think that's why I'm so passionate about this whole notion of living life's possibilities. Know you can have everything that you want in your life, and know that you have everything within you to live the life you dream. The Course in Miracles says, nothing outside yourself can save you, and nothing outside you can give you peace. And the reason that's so important, as you've heard from my journey, that was the world that I was judging myself by. You know, was I, you know, accomplished enough? Did I have this? Did I have this? So remember, everything's inside of you. And in the coaching that I do, you know, I'm always encouraging you, listen to the wisdom within you. Just think about that easy comment. Is it light or is it heavy when you're deciding to make a choice? If it's heavy, it's probably being out of fear. If it's light, it's out of love. So are you willing and open to allow yourself to a greater, grander life? Are you willing to find the opportunities in your divorce? And are you willing to step up and step out to the greatest, grandest version of you? Through coaching, workshops, and presentations, I've been able to help open up people to greater possibilities for their lives. So often, you don't even realize you have options. You feel so devastated and can't see that life could be different. You often haven't seen a life in a different way. So it's my hope to provide you with that ray of hope, show you what can be possible if you make the commitment to yourself, to invest in yourself, to believe in yourself, and to know you are worth it, and to know that you were meant to live big, even if you're divorced. So I'd like to encourage you to go to my page, Dottie, D-O-T-T-I-E, dot livingfreefromdivorce.com, and I'd like to open it up for questions. If anyone's on the phone and you could press star 2. And if anyone is on the webcast, you could send in a question. And I see we have some questions. So I'll start answering this. Hi, Dottie. I've been married and divorced twice. I'm under the age of 40, and I do live in fear of others judging me if they know that. However, the many times I've owned it and been honest about it, I still feel judged. I then feel like I have to work extra hard to prove to them that I'm not who they've labeled me to be. Thus, I often find it easier to keep my marriage divorce to myself. I'm okay with my past, but others are not. I fear their response. What suggestions do you have for me, and how can I get past the truth that others will judge me? Okay, so where I'd ask you to begin is really what you're feeling. It's once again going back to the way we think about things. So I'd ask you, what are your judgments around being divorced? And I know, I mentioned to me being judged where, you were a trashy person, you were a bad person, even like my husband told me, my ex-husband, nobody would want you. So some of the same feelings that you are there. And so you have to go through and really look at your own judgments around that. And so what is it about that makes you feel that? Because what we'll do is attract people who will keep showing us, that feeling until we heal that within us. And it really is the way that we look at ourselves around that. And so until you can look at yourself and say, just like me, I'm sharing with the world now how I've boxed in. I'm not blaming on him. I did at the beginning. But now it's like it was a gift to me, that I was divorced. I don't see myself in the same way. I don't see myself as a bad person. Now, one of the things that I would tell you that I don't know if you've heard the name Brené Brown. She wrote a book about vulnerability, and she has on YouTube, there's a TED YouTube about vulnerability, and she talks about that when you're feeling vulnerable, you need to share it with people, but you need to make sure it's shared with people that you can trust and know that will honor you where you are. So maybe this whole thing about sharing with others, you need to be really careful about so that you don't feel like, you're feeling like you have to show them how important you are or show them what a good person that you are. So really most of them are in your life to keep showing you the judgments that you have. So I would encourage you to do the work, to dig into those qualities, go through what you have made not only divorce once, but twice mean, and try to find how that could be, there could be a gift in that for you. So thank you very much for your question. Hopefully that helped you. I liked your activity to look at what you don't like in a different way. I'd love to hear a few more examples. Would you help walk us through exercises with the following 4 qualities? Compulsive lying, not caring properly for your child, not following through, and not learning from previous mistakes. Okay. I'll do one of them for time's sake. And let me tell you, if you're on my page, Dottie.livingfree, what I decided to do instead of an offering, because you have so many other offerings, the bonus package, if you look at bonus.livingfree at the top of the page where it says upgrades, you'll see in there that I have a discovery session that I would love for you to purchase that bonus package, and I would give a free discovery session where we could go through more of these things that to help you really process the things that you might be interested in. But, okay, compulsive lying. Okay, so what you want to do is, you kind of ask yourself questions like, okay, where in my life, is that happening? And often most of us are pretty resistant. Oh, I don't do that. I've never done that. Or if you are resistant and you don't feel like you have done that before, then just think about where in your life that might have happened. And so what is it about compulsive liars that you don't like? And so then that's where you get into the quality that you don't like. They're not trustworthy. They're, you know, just kind of keep asking yourself lots of questions about it. A compulsive liar is, you know, so they're not authentic. They're, you know, mean, you know, deceitful. Probably deceitful might be one of them. But for yourself, it will bring up certain traits that are important for you to pay attention to what's causing the triggering. And so when you come up with that, then you say, okay, deceitful. Okay, what kind of person, you know, what kind of qualities on deceitful, you know, being deceitful could be helpful? Well, it makes me think more. It makes me, someone deceitful is pretty imaginative. Somebody, do you kind of see what I'm saying? Not that being deceit, you know, being a compulsive liar is a good thing or a bad thing. What you're trying to do is unravel the quality, to find the gift in it, and then you will not have people around you doing the compulsive lying like that. It's someplace in us, like for instance, you know, I didn't want to be seen, you know, that whole divorce thing, I didn't want to be seen as bad. I wanted people to think I was a good person, that I, you know, that I was this perfect person. So things were going to show up in my life to show me a way that I had to start healing, that, you know, my feelings around the kind of people that divorced people were. So as you unravel compulsive lying, what you're trying to do is find the quality that triggers you in that. You know, what is it about being a compulsive liar that you don't like? And then look at the qualities, you know, look at the ways that that could be, you know, beneficial. And then when you see that and think, okay, well, you know what, sometimes I don't need to be quick judging. I don't have, you know, I could be more imaginative in my life. I don't have, you know, I could see that there maybe are some other options of the way things were in life. And so then it shows you, and then you say, where in my life, you know, do I need that some more? I need to be able to not be as judgmental as quickly or those kinds of things. So I hope that kind of helps. But I'd love to answer your other questions if you want to, you know, take advantage of that, because sometimes it just takes a little time to go through it. But I'm glad that you liked it, and it really does help you unplug from those. And what happens, I mean, I can tell you numbers of qualities. You know, when I was working at my other job, lazy kept coming up. And boy, I mean, it just keeps coming up. These qualities will come up until we heal them, and you'll see them in your life in different ways. So hopefully that helped you. And thank you so much for your question. You speak of taking back your life and being who and doing what you want to do. Sometimes when I do this, I find myself struggling to know when I'm being selfish. Absolutely. If what I want is not in alignment with what someone else wants, I wind up having an argument in my own mind about whether I should stand my ground or compromise or give in. I feel conflicted regularly as whether or not I'm honoring myself and taking control of my life. What suggestions would you have for me? Oh, what a beautiful question, too. There's so many parts of that that are so important. So what happens is when you know you're in alignment with what's true for you, now, it's hard to do it 100%, so I'm not going to say this always works, but the great part about it is you do know when it doesn't feel right to you. And this is your life, and this life was meant for you. And so all these other people in your life are there to help support you have the life you want. Now, when you're in a family or a work situation, it's not always perfect. But when you can go to work showing up and in alignment with you, because just like for me, one of my missions is to inspire people. So when I would go to work, I needed to make sure I was always inspiring, you know, what I was doing, even though other people maybe were doing other things. If I wanted to be in alignment, I had to find a way to be inspiring, not that negative Nelly going around places. So that's part of how you stay in alignment with what it is. When you are clear about that 85th birthday, about what's important to you, then it allows you to be able to say yes to the things that are most important to you. And then you can say, I would love to do that, but right now I need to do this. Because if you are not filled, and if you read the book, Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, he talks about your emotional bank account. If you aren't filled, we don't have things to give to other people. Okay, we do it out of resentment. We do it out of all those fear things. And then you have the arguments that you're saying, and then we give in to what's most important. Is life about compromise in many situations? Absolutely. But you will not feel the conflict, you know, when you really feel like you're doing it in alignment. It gives you permission to say, I'd love to do that, but in order to be, you know, you don't have to say this out loud, in order to be true to who you are, I've got to say, this is what I'm choosing to do today. So I hope that that helps you in looking at that, because it is so true that the clearer we are about who we are and our purpose, and when we take that into every situation, whether it's in a conversation we're having with our husband, because like mine, I shared with you, I want people to say that I was there for them. So when my husband walks in the door and I have 16 other tasks to do, if I'm not present for him, then I'm not doing what I said. And so it helps me say, okay, like the other night we had our boys over, and I had another, you know, conversation that I needed to have with some other people. And it was happening at the same time, but I thought, you know what, they came later and they were staying later, but that was most important to me, is to be present for them. So even though I'm disappointed on the, you know, the other hand, the most important were those kids. So hopefully those examples can help make the point. Thank you so much for your questions. I sure appreciate it. An ex of mine recently admitted to me that he cheated on me during our relationship. Since our relationship, I had a lack of confidence and had ignored my gut instincts many times. Hearing this news made me feel more confident. Moving forward, what are some tips for knowing whether or not my gut instincts are true? Okay, that, boy, our gut instinct is true. And I'm so glad that you said that, because the more, you know, try little things about trusting. There are so many times, and especially like I was in such a doing mode that I didn't listen to my internal guidance system, you know, my emotional guidance system. And the more that you practice, that's why those centering exercises, just even for a couple minutes, help you start trusting, you know, what is it that I want to hear, get from this call today? And when you start trusting, something will pop up quickly. Sometimes it doesn't make any sense, but later it'll make so much sense to you. So we don't judge it, which, you know, often we kind of ignore it and go, oh, you know, that doesn't make any sense. But when we trust our gut, everything will fall into place for you and it'll be easier. And one of the ways, go back to that thing, does it feel light or does it feel heavy? If it feels heavy, you know you're not following your gut. You know, now, when you follow your gut, it's like, okay, I'm doing this. I don't know how to do it. And just, you know, let it be open to you, not bad or good, just like, okay, you know, God, universe, or source, whatever you ask, you know, just like, I don't know what I'm doing here, but I need your help, angels, you know, whoever you ask to provide you some guidance, you know, but all know that your gut, just like you said, I've ignored it, and then usually we have to make up for what we've ignored. So I think the way to tell is, I think we really know, we just ignore that we know. But I would tell you, your gut instinct, if it feels light, then it's right. If it feels heavy, then you're trying to justify. And see if that, you know, sometimes when we're justifying or trying to convince, those kinds of things, it's not our gut either. Well, I think that's all the questions that I have. Let me see. If there's any other questions. Well, I want to thank you for our session today, and I really appreciate your questions. Thank you so much for doing it with a webcast, you know, people on the phone. I'd love for you to ask questions also. But thank you so much. You know, I hope my journey opened you up to possibilities in your life and realize, you know, so much of what we do, we create in our head, and it's not even real in our lives. And so those feelings that we have, those bad feelings, if we just unravel them, there's so much freedom in that. And so I'd love to help in any way possible. So thank you so much for being part of my day today. And tomorrow we'll have Allie McLean. She's Claim Your Sovereignty. She's an author, speaker, and mentor known as the Sovereign Woman. So in closing, my closing affirmation, emotion pains are just truth knocking upon a door that's been closed too long. And that's from the Daily Universe message of Mike Dooley. So thank you very much, and we'll see you at noon tomorrow, Pacific time. Appreciate you.